So I was gone last weekend and didn't have the opportunity to introduce to you the new setting for the Latin that we're doing this year, and I'm very excited about it. One of the things that a lot of people have said to me is that they don't mind the Latin, but it's always so depressing. Well, the particular setting of Latin that we were singing was written hundreds of years ago for weekdays of Lent and Advent, and it's kind of supposed to meant to draw us into this idea of repentance, so it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. But we're trying a different setting this year on Sundays at these two Masses that's a bit more joyful. It's literally called Mass of the Angels. And so you'll notice that, and I heard that it went really well last week, and so I'm very excited to hear it today. But just so you know, that's why we did that. It's because of this desire from you guys to get something a little different there. So like I said, I was on vacation last week, and I just got back on Friday night. So you might be thinking, sweet, Father's homily is going to be short, right? I had 9 hours on a plane, folks. But the good news is the readings are very clear about what Christ and what his church is calling us to do to prepare for his coming. And the part that's hard, the part that takes a lot of time, is the living it out this week. Today we see John the Baptist bursting onto the scene. He is the voice who cries out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And he says things to the Pharisees and Sadducees like, "You brood of vipers, who warned you?" And he tells people that the axe is going to chop the roots of the tree. You can tell John the Baptist is out here to make friends and buddies, isn't he? But his message is important. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we must repent. We must get ready because this kingdom of heaven is coming whether we like it or not. Isaiah and the psalmist both talk to us about it. Isaiah says, "Justice will be the band around our Lord's waist and faithfulness a belt upon his hips." And the psalmist says, "There will be justice and peace." Indeed, there will be peace in the kingdom of God. But first there comes justice. Because without justice, there cannot be peace. Without proper order, there cannot be peace. And so what is it to be just to another human being? In reality, God has already given us the answer. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat them fairly, compassionately. Practice those works of mercy, both the spiritual and the corporal works of mercy. And recognize that every single person on this planet is more important than whatever group they think they might belong to. And everything that we do, thought, word, or action, should be an invitation for the people around us to come back and be closer to God. That's how we do justice to the people around us. And how do we do justice to God? Well, that's the other half of that commandment, isn't it? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. And frankly, it's impossible to do that. The best we can do is turn away from our sins and back to him and ask for forgiveness and for mercy those times where it doesn't work out so well. And the fact that God gives us forgiveness, the fact that God is merciful, it doesn't mean that this justice does not exist. It does. But God himself has paid the price for our actions. When we look at the covenants we break through our sin, what we deserve from it is death. And God took that upon himself when he died on the cross for each and every one of us, so that we wouldn't have to go through that, so that we would not die forever due to our sins. And that's why it's so important that we strive every moment of our lives to unite ourselves with him in that moment so that we can be saved. That's why baptism is so important, because it allows us to enter into that life of Christ. It's why going to confession is so important, because it allows us to turn back to God when we've turned away from him. That's why the sacrament of marriage is important, because every moment of a married person's life as they struggle to get their spouse to heaven, and let's be honest, for some it's more of a struggle than others, right? Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Us guys are hard work. But that sacrament of marriage, every moment of your life, God is pouring that grace into your hearts so that you can turn to Him through your spouse. But above all, the sacrament of the Eucharist, where we literally get to consume our God and be united with Him. There's no closer relationship than that. And when we're united with Him in all of these ways and in our daily prayers, we allow that mercy and the grace of His action on the cross to save us from the damnation that we deserve. And we allow that grace and that mercy to wash over us and purify us and strengthen us and help us overcome those nasty sins that we just can't get over. We allow ourselves to grow closer to God through His sacraments so that we can have peace with Him. This is what St. John the Baptist is talking about. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we don't have to be perfect to be saved. We're called to perfection, but the good news is God knows that's impossible for us human beings. What we are called to do is to repent, which literally means turn back to Him. We're called to hate the sin in our lives and to love God above all things. Now, that first part is actually quite unpleasant, to hate the sin. And it's why everybody despised St. John the Baptist, because he told them they were sinners. He helped them identify those sins in their lives. That's why they didn't like him. Nobody likes hearing about the bad stuff that they do. But the fact remains, we all sin. Even those of us who think we don't, we sin. And so we have to allow that cry of the Baptist to pierce into our hearts and help us to break through those nice, comfortable illusions we like to convince ourselves of. Those nice little illusions that society tries to convince us of. You know, society tries to make us think we're all good people. It doesn't really matter what you do. You're going to go to heaven. It doesn't matter how you behave. It doesn't matter how you believe. That is all false. It does matter. What we do matters. What we believe, it matters. And if we can't allow ourselves to believe anything else, if you don't know that, then you're in danger. Because our modern society would have us pray, "Thank you, Lord, for not making me like that Pharisee who went up to the front of the temple, because he was obviously a sinner. I am not judgmental at all. I am very tolerant and kind and humble," right? That's what our society would have us pray. But we must turn back to God. We must allow Him to shine His light into our hearts. And when we start seeing that sin, it stings. I know how much it stings. But that's what happens when light pierces the darkness. That's what happens when a wound is cleansed before it is healed. Our job is to find those sins in our life and to turn them over to God so that we can turn back to Him. That is what repentance is all about. St. John the Baptist tells the Pharisees and the Sadducees that if they are truly repentant, if they truly want to be baptized in this baptism of repentance, they need to produce good fruit as evidence of their repentance. When we turn back to God, it changes us, and it changes how we live every moment of our lives. It's not merely that we sometimes think, well, I probably should do better at that at some point in my life, and we've all fallen into that trap. Instead, it's intentionally turning our hearts to God and seriously thinking, what am I going to do to be holier today? We Catholics have been given many great gifts. One of the greatest is that we can be assured we are forgiven when we go to the sacrament of penance. And we've been given some great news, that we have been saved by God Himself. That is why we can go forward in that hope that St. Paul talks about in the second reading today. We can go forward with the hope that we will someday experience heaven, because we know what we have to do. On this earth, what we have to do is we have to let the light of our Father in heaven into our hearts, to pierce our hearts open and show us where it is we need to repent so that we can turn back to him.